You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers edition. I'm going to be joined by Adam McKelvey, beat writer for MLB.com on the Brewers. We're talking about a Brewers team that's been in first place every day since April 6th. But can't shake the specter of the St. Louis Cardinals. They're back there lurking. They're always there, the Cardinals. They never seem to go away. Now they're getting Yadier Molina back. Adam, do you think the Brew Crew, if they're being honest, they see the Cardinals in that rearview mirror just about constantly?
Oh, for sure. And if they don't, they are asked about them all the time by people like me. So they can't shake them. And, you know, rightfully so. They are the defending pennant winners. They're a team that most projected to, if not win the division, be in it. And here they are. And you're right. They're getting healthy now. They're on a roll, 9-12 as we speak. And they've been chasing the Brewers. But, you know, the Brewers have been the division leader, as you said, pretty much all season. They get very little love for that, which is interesting to me as I go around and talk to scouts and the other writers around the game. You know, the question is always about, you know, are they going to fall out of this? And it's never about, boy, it looks like they're going to win this division. And every time the Brewers get close to losing hold of first, they would put a couple of wins together, it seems, and kind of hang on to that perch. They've gotten as close as tied with the Cardinals before the All-Star break, won a big game before the break, and it would get down to a game at several points after the All-Star break. And every time the Brewers put together a few and kind of hang on to that spot. So I think until they get knocked out of it, they should get a little more credit for being the leaders of this division all year.
Well, I think early on they were certainly getting a lot of credit, and they should have when they were 51-32 on June 28th. Since then, they've kind of slipped. You know, they had the long losing streak in July, and are actually under 500. We go back there, and as I project right now, or as you look at the Brewers' record right now, they would project to 90 wins for the regular season. I'm going to say 90 wins is not going to win the National League Central. It's too good of a division. How many games do you think whoever wins the Central, whether it's the Cardinals or the Brewers or maybe even the Pirates, how many games do you think you'll have to win the Central?
Well, you know, I think it's in those low – I think the low 90s is reasonable. You know, I think you may be right that right at 90 won't be enough. But again, look at this, and this division is – there are good teams in it, but they're just – look like they're going to be beaten up on each other. The Brewers are in stretch right now where they have tons of NL West games. They played really well against that division. But September is full of interdivision games, and it gets really hard to predict when these teams are going head-to-head what sort of win total we're going to end up with. For example, the Brewers' final road trip of the year takes them to St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. I mean, those are wild card games that could completely decide the division within the span of 10 days. And to be able to sit here and predict how those are going to play out is really impossible. I'll tell you, Vegas has given it a shot. I feel like the St. Louis Cardinals to win the division, but the Brewers still to make the playoffs as a wild card. The Brewers do not want any part of that wild card game because you're talking about just, you know, one game to decide your whole season. They do not want to be there. So they're focused on trying to win this division, and they're getting a little healthy, too. They get Kyle Loesch back last night. They've got Matt Garza on the path back. They've avoided serious injury for the most part to their position players. And they look, you know, they're positioned to at least give this a run in September, and I think it could come down to the last trip in those head-to-head games against St. Louis and Pittsburgh.
Well, and in terms of how they've gotten here, you know, one guy that's been a key for them pretty much all year has been Scooter Jeanette. I bring him up because the Under Armour All-American game was played recently at Wrigley Field. He's one of the alums of that game, and he remembers it as the one time in his life he batted ninth. He's worked his way into first or second spot in the Brewers order much of this year on track to hit over 300 in his first full season. Along with Ricky Weeks, Brewer second baseman have an 808 OPS. That's the best in the National League at that position. How important have those two guys together been?
Yeah, it's been big, and it's a platoon that a lot of us questioned at the end of the year whether it would stay a platoon. There was talk, Ricky Weeks in the final year of his contract, that the Brewers would try to swing a deal for him, try to get something for him, because it was Scooter Gennett's turn to play that position now for the long term. But they kept their position, and it's probably helped both players. You know, Scooter Gennett has really good numbers since he jumped into the Brewers lineup when Weeks had a hamstring injury last August. And part of it is that this year he's had good matchups. They've matched him up against right-handers. He's been exposed very little to lefties. He's hit lefties some in the minor leagues, but he's going to have to prove that he can do it in the big leagues. And his chances are going to come next season when he's the everyday guy. But this has been a pretty smart way of handling it, I would say, by Doug Melvin and Ron Reneke to platoon these guys. Put Ricky Weeks in situations where he's more likely to have success, and likewise for Scooter Gennett, and you add it all up at the end, and you've got good numbers. The downside is that it takes away a piece of flexibility on the bench, because when either one of those guys is on the bench, they are a second baseman, period. So the Brewers have had to do some other things with their other bench players to get the flexibility they need to get through games and be covered late in games. But as far as just pure production from second, it's worked out pretty well.
Hey, something else that works out pretty well, Ryan Braun at Petco Park. He had his best career game ever there, the three-homer game in which he also threw in a measly triple, 15 total bases that night. And the Brewers opening a West Coast trip at Petco the other night, Braun hits a long home run first time up. How does he explain why San Diego is so good to him?
Well, simple, that he just likes it here. He's comfortable here. He must see the ball well here, and he's not intimidated by the ballpark. That home run you're talking about was encouraging because it was a pulled homer. Ryan Braun's going the opposite way a lot this year, which is not a bad thing. It's a very good way to hit. But it's, I think Brewers fans always feel a little bit better when he pulls a homer, because it shows that he can do it, that the thumb that's bothered him all year is feeling good, that the other various body aches and pains that have sidelined him here and there are feeling good, and that he can be productive. You know, we talk about wild card with the schedule. He's a bit of a wild card for me for this Brewers team, because he's been on this roller coaster all year where physically he goes through stretches where he just cannot perform high level. They need to give him a day or two off, and he's able to come back and sort of get in a good streak again. The timing is going to be really important as we get into late September and the Brewers hope October. Are they going to be able to get the good Ryan Braun for those games? That's going to be really interesting. I don't know how you really plan for it. It's sort of a roll of the dice, and it could go a long way to determining whether they're able to do any damage if they get to where they want to go.
Well, another wild card for you then I'll throw out there. Matt Garza, throwing in the bullpen, looks like he's close to coming back. Unclear whether he's going to have to make a rehab start or go back in the rotation. And really, it's a rotation that's been done okay without him. But, obviously he got the contract because of his high-end stuff. And when he's on, he can beat really good lineups. Where do you see Garza now? And is there any way to know what to expect from him in September?
No, there's really not a way. It's going to depend on his health. He was pitching at an extremely high level before he strained an oblique in a start in St. Louis. I mean, like no-hit type stuff every time out. Actually took some no-hitters deep into games, the seventh inning of one game at Miller Park. They want to get him back to that level, and they were really cautious with his comeback in order that when he does get back, he's the good, healthy, productive Matt Garza. They have a really interesting option with him. His next start, they could start him, in other words, on September 1. That would be a Jimmy Nelson game, a young right-hander who they also really like. If they decide to put Matt Garza back in, they would have all these bullpen reinforcements on hand with call-ups. And even though he's not necessarily stretched out, on September 1st it really wouldn't matter. They could pitch him if they're convinced on his bullpen session that he can, that he's pitching well. they could throw him a couple innings, 3 innings, 4 innings, 5 innings, whatever he's able to make it, and it doesn't matter because you've got all these arms to cover the rest of the game, starting with Jimmy Nelson, who potentially now could be the Brewers' solution as a late-inning right-hander. They've been searching for a trade to get a guy to help set up Francisco Rodriguez. They haven't found any luck at all in trades. The asking prices are astronomical in the Brewers' estimation. So, you know, look at Jimmy Nelson. Fastball slider, the fastball up to, you know, 95, 96 plus. That could play in the eighth inning. And the question is, does he have the mentality to do it? From the little I know about him, and I think Ron Renicki's read, too, is that he could do it. He's got this sort of just give me the ball attitude. It could be a really nice two birds with one stone situation for the Brewers if they move Jimmy Nelson to the bullpen for September. Now, this is all dependent on Garza feeling good, getting through his final steps, and, you know, again, being a productive member of that starting rotation. But they're getting healthy on the pitching side at a pretty good time.
Well, that is a good plan. Jimmy Nelson would morph into Tyler Thornburg, who was so important after making that same kind of a change from starter to setup man before being injured, and could be a that might be as big of an addition as anybody would get in September from any call up or trade. So I like the way you know Doug Melvin, Ron Renicki are thinking. Thanks very much, Adam. This is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewer Edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.